Welcome to Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church, where we worship God, make disciples of Jesus Christ, and serve our community and world. The following is a recorded message based on God's holy word. We would love to see you for our worship services on Sunday mornings. For more information, visit www.mattisav.org or call 217-355-5947. And may God bless you.
Amen. We've said it a couple times already, but we may as well say it again. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And sometimes you just feel like saying something other than that. So if you're the kind of person who just wants to say a really good woo, like I'm not saying like woo, like let me give you an example already. Woo! Okay? I want to give you permission to do that on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Woo! All right. Yeah, get it all out. And here's the exciting thing. As we have begun Eastertide this morning, that's our reminder. This is not a moment of celebration. We're reminded we do this every single Sunday. That's what every Sunday of worship is about, is celebrating the resurrection. But it's woo, right? But especially during this season of the church calendar, it's Eastertide. We have kicked off a 50-day celebration of Eastertide that will last us through Pentecost. So don't feel like you have to fit all the eggs and all the ham and all the whatever into today. Stretch it out. Find things that replenish you, that refresh you, that give you life. And nourish you. My prayer for all of us is that Eastertide this year can be an invitation to spend extended amounts of time discovering the heart of God that seeks to bring us renewal. And as I spent time praying this past week over modern images of what renewal looked like, I think my millennial imagination was showing a little bit. Because one image came to me over and over again. This may hit some of you more than others. Video games. Specifically, what my mind brought up was the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game that allowed four brothers, if we have four brothers in your home growing up, to play side by side. Of course, I always chose Michelangelo. But as you fought the bad guys, you would get hit by your opponents, and every time you were hit, it would deplete your health, right? You had this little bar at the top of the screen, and even though it looked like you were doing fine on the surface, you could look toward that health bar as an indicator of how well you were actually doing. It would illustrate how close you were to expiring. And I remember many times when I was in the battle against the bad guys, usually the small ones, right, whether it's a guy or a robot or whatever, and my health, I would see the bar just right about out, and it looked like my turtle was doing well, but all of a sudden I would see it over on the other side of the screen, this little pizza box that was just glowing, right, and beckoning for you to come. And I would do whatever it took to dodge all the things to make it to that pizza. And all of a sudden, whatever the noise would be, I'm just making that up, right? But the health bar would be replenished. And I want you to think this morning about what in life gives you that kind of refreshment and renewal. What in life makes you feel that, whatever it is, like, make the noise you want to make, but your health bar being replenished completely, what is that thing that replenishes you? There are things that seem to fill our tank temporarily. But when we look at the health bar of our soul, right, this is a thing we do often in our vein, our branch of the church. We ask the question, how is it with your soul? We want to be people who not only attend to how our own soul is doing, but we want to ask one another, how are you really doing? How is your soul? And when I say soul, it's not just my spirit, right? Like this spiritual thing that doesn't seem real. My soul is, how am I doing mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually? All the things that make me, me. How is it with my soul? And I believe that when these practices, the practices we go to for renewal, are aligned with the heart of God revealed in Jesus, we can experience not only a temporary replenish, but we are tapping into this deep renewal that we can enjoy and build on for eternity. Scripture tells us that the things done in Christ will last. right? As Jesus tells the woman at the well, everyone who drinks of this water will get thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water I'll give them won't ever be thirsty again. No, the water I'll give them will become a spring of water welling up to the life of God's new age. Before we go too much further in that direction, I want us to read the text from today's resurrection celebration from Luke 24. We've heard bits of it already. We heard the account from one of the other gospels. But I want you to listen to these next moments of scripture. I'm going to let you remain seated. I know that's really weird because it's a gospel reading and we always stand for the gospel readings. I want you to sit, though. I want you to just close your eyes if you're willing to. And I want you to listen to these moments of scripture as if they are the thing that replenishes you. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit speak into our hearts this morning as you hear from this passage from Luke 24. Notice what words stand out to you. I believe the Holy Spirit can move in these moments to just have one or two words grip your heart in a way that says, listen to my heart this morning. Hear these words from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified. And on the third day, rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us this morning to take deep breaths of the gospel winds you have blown throughout our creation. Would you open your word to our hearts and open our hearts up to your word in ways we have been hesitant to open ourselves in the past? Breathe on us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, even if you're visiting us today as your first time in church, you've probably heard or seen cultural references to these precise moments. But it's worth talking about them, even if you've heard them a million times, the same way that a married couple shares stories from their beginning, because these are part of what makes us who we are. And as we wrap our minds around these moments, we're reminded of important parts of how God reveals his heart to us and through us. And it's more than attention to the details. I want you to look right at the middle of the passage again. If you have it open, you can look. If not, just remember the middle of the passage. And twice we notice the word remember. First, it's the angel talking to the women who had come. Remember how he had told you. Recalling the words of Luke chapter 9, verse 22, where Jesus said he must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. As Gary Habermas writes in his book, Risen Indeed, he writes, the Jews were responsible for distinguishing between the prophets who spoke the words of the Lord and the one who did not. The sign that the prophet was relaying a revelation from God was that the prophecy would occur in history. This comes from Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, but the thing does not take place or prove true, it is a word that the Lord has not spoken. So right away, these women are not only aware that Jesus has risen, but that his prophecy about himself has happened. He's been called a prophet several times before, and here he's being verified as a prophet once again. And so their minds and their hearts begin racing, I'm sure, to recall every word that Jesus had spoken. What else had this prophet said? And Luke writes the word again. Then they remembered his words. It's worth noting here for a moment, at least, what the angels did not say. They did not say, "Hello, women, please go bring some men here, and then we will tell you what has happened." Others have written books on the topic, so I won't go into too much depth, but we know the common practice toward the testimony of women in those days. The ancient historian Josephus, who lived in those days, wrote these words, "Let not the testimony of women be admitted on account of their inconsistency and presumption of their sex. Nor let servants be admitted to give testimony on the account of the innobility of their soul." So catch this. Jesus, in his life, his death, his resurrection, and the ministry poured out by his Holy Spirit, we see God healing all of the brokenness sin, which is turning away from God, has brought about. Here we have a gathering of women, and I wouldn't be surprised if they had brought some female slaves with them, servants to help them carry their spices, and these are the first ones to share the testimony of the resurrection. I believe this is on purpose. Now, of course, most of the men they shared it with didn't actually believe them, so cue the jokes about men not listening to women. Thank you. Scripture says these words seemed an idle tale. So God still gives us free will, right, and how we respond to what he's doing. But God offers redemption here by tearing down the expectations of who's allowed or expected to do what anymore. Male or female, slave or free, rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, all previous expectations now become, what does God desire? What does God desire? Jesus will use anyone who makes themselves available for any of his healing purposes. Don't worry about who you have been in the past, or who the world says you are, or even who you feel like you are today. Hear these words. Are you available for the purposes of God? That's all it takes to be used by God. And so we go back to the tomb again, because I believe it's key for our calling as those who are witnesses to his resurrection. The angels instructed them with this imperative command, remember his words. Without going too deep into it, the root for the Greek word here for remember or be mindful of comes from a root word, meno, meaning to abide. They're not bringing to mind the words of Jesus just in order to remember the information that those words conveyed. They're not even looking back on them to be really, really inspired by Jesus. They're recalling, just as we recall the words of Jesus in order to literally abide in the reality that these words speak of and reveal and invoke. This was always the way God was revealing himself in Jesus. As John 1:14 tells us, the word became flesh and lived among us. This is what it means to remember his words, to bring his words to mind and to abide in the reality that they invoke by the power of the Holy Spirit. Easter, Resurrection Sunday, right, celebrates the launching of God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is his reign and rule, right? Wherever the reign and rule of God is, that's the kingdom of God, right in the midst of our world by Jesus conquering death and resurrection. This is the foundation for why we exist as a local church, even. It's not about our programming, even though this programming, there's so many great things happening here at Mattis Avenue. It's not about our food, although breakfast, come on, woo, all right? It's not even about our music, even though our music, isn't it beautiful? There are some great and talented people in our midst. And it's definitely not about our preaching. As a church, we exist to remember his words together. I want to give you a sentence up here. I'm going to keep it up there for a little while. We are a local church and covenant community rooted in the global Free Methodist movement. And I just want to examine this sentence really quick as a reminder for those who know it already, but for those who are here for the first time, just as an explanation of who we are and how we remember. There are a lot of ways in our world, a lot of streams that have gone out for how Jesus is remembered, and a lot of them are still following Jesus. We as the Free Methodist Church don't think that we are the only ones following Jesus. Amen? We are just one of the ways people are remembering Jesus. I really like this way. It's brought a whole lot of healing to me, and I think it brings a whole lot of healing to our world when it's done well. But I want to just look at who we are for a moment. Number one, we are a local church. That means we are rooted in one place. Oh, sorry, we're not there yet. We're going to get there. Now you've scared everybody. That's all right. We're rooted in one place. We care a lot about our neighborhood. We care a lot about our community and the surrounding areas. We want those who are connected to our church to find ways to serve your neighbors, find ways to love the community, to know the prayer needs of the lives of those we interact with, to exist in ways that those who live around us are blessed, not just spiritually, but actually tangibly blessed. And if you are a member here, or if you're a regular attender here, we hope you know that your home is an extension of Mattis Avenue Free Methodist, which is an extension of the kingdom of God, which means your home is where the reign and rule of God is being revealed for the purposes of the kingdom in our world. Number two, we are a local church. That next word, we're a local church, right? A church strives to reflect the temple of the Old Testament, the shared space between God and humanity. We seek to be that space and to nourish those moments where the realm of God and the realm of humanity come together. And as a specifically Christian church, we seek to live as those who are sent out daily, empowered by the Holy Spirit who is sent through Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We cannot and we are not being church without the Holy Spirit empowering us. The next word on this phrase is covenant community. We are a covenant community. We're not just an event provider or a weekly source of encouragement. I would even say that if you're coming on an annual or even a weekly basis to consume a Sunday morning service, but you're not allowing others to know you or knowing others in context of relationships, you're not actually experiencing what God intends for church, for community. And I say that not as an accusation, but as an invitation. We also invite not just community, loosely defined, which our world is really great at manufacturing. You can join a new community every time you join a new grocery store, right? You download the app, you get the coupons, you're part of the community that is being formed. This is not that kind of community. We're trying to do something different here in some really deep ways that aren't going to happen accidentally. We invite covenant community. where commitments are being made by members to the body and by the body to each of its members. We pray that these covenants will help us be a place and exist as a people where even those with differences or those who have wounds, even wounds from others in the same community, can find reconciliation and healing in committed relationships as we work difficult things out as one body in Jesus Christ. The world tells us regularly these days, if you're reading the news, if you're listening to the news, we're facing a loneliness epidemic. And the church exists as part of God's healing plan, knowing that such isolation can happen if we're not being his body together. The next word we have in this sentence is global. We are rooted in the global movement. We admit that the Free Methodist movement is not very big in the United States of America. It's much larger overseas, especially in places like Asia and Africa, because from our earliest moments in the 1860s, we as a denomination said, let's send people other places to share this good news of Jesus wherever we can. And then eventually we'll start growing here. But first, let's get it out anywhere we can get it. And this movement of Jesus followers in Scripture did the same thing, right? They didn't wait and set up this giant church in Jerusalem before they went out. They just went out immediately because it was part of their DNA to go to share the good news of Jesus with the world. We're also recipients of those global ministries. We're recipients of hearts globally that are serving Jesus in all of their contexts, and they're sharing his kingdom work back with us. So whether we go or whether we grow, it's out of deep roots, acknowledging our global family. And then we have one more word there at the end. We're part of a global movement. Because this is a reminder, a really important one, especially for pastors. We are not building an empire. We're not seeking to build a static organization that is successful as an organization. We don't want to build monuments to the past, but we also don't want to just be moving for the sake of motion. As Jesus revealed in Acts 1:8, we are sent out by a Holy Spirit that is always empowering us to breathe out his new creation life. This often means being willing to examine where we have been too content or where we are being divinely discontent with wounds or brokenness in our world, and going out to join Jesus in embodied ways, embodied responses toward healing by his Spirit. But then there are two words that I skipped over there, the Free Methodists. And this is where the scary slide comes in. Go ahead, Andy. Put the giant. Yeah, okay. So this is a slide that I was going to go into depth, and I was like, holy smokes, I'm not going to do that this morning. This is available on the history tab of our website if you're interested in diving deep into any of these particular areas. But I do want to highlight some towards the end here where we have the Methodist revivals, because, church, we need a revival. We need to receive the Holy Spirit in a way where our left-brained culture has kind of forgotten how to depend on it. In the very beginning of the Wesleyan movement, John Wesley saw a church that was great at showing up on Sunday mornings. But he started visiting in people's homes and realizing, wait a minute, they're coming on Sunday, but if you visit their home and someone else's home, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference between who goes and is a part of what God's doing and who is not. And so he began inviting them to be transformed in relationships, not only of societies, which is the whole church, but also classes, which were groups of smaller groups, right? And then you have bands of three or four people that share in confessional relationships, truth-telling relationships, where people can experience forgiveness in tangible ways, so that I don't just know that God loves me in my heart, but I'm tangibly loved face to face by other people who know me, who say, God sees you because I see you, and you are loved and you are forgiven. And this launched a revival and a movement that carried out globally. And then you see the next step up there after Methodism itself was Free Methodism. These people that came along and said, even in this movement of Methodism, there are some things that we're missing. We're still allowing slavery. We're still charging for pews, which separates the rich from the poor. We're still limiting what the Holy Spirit can do through individuals or through moments. We want freedom in all ways for the purposes of God's people. So they began pursuing God in ways that are unique to the Free Methodist Church. I encourage you, if you're interested in finding any more out, a lot is on our website. But if you ever have questions, just ask, because we want to help share that heart. These are the ways that we remember his words together. These are the ways that we abide in the truth that Jesus lived out and died for and was resurrected for in order to reveal the heart of God. So at the tomb, the women were told to remember, right? Knowing Jesus was verified by the occurrence of his own resurrection as a prophet from God, they began to examine all that they could remember, and they shared the news with the other disciples, and the impact of what had just happened spread, and as followers of Jesus shared their excitement together, in the next days, he then appeared among them. Taking time to explain all those connections, right? All the things that they may have missed while he walked in their midst. Words like John 8:58, where he affirmed he was the one with God since their father in the faith, Abraham. He said, "Truly I tell you, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." Connecting himself to the God who says, "I am." In the Old Testament. Words that not only informed them of who he was, but who we are as his followers. As the physically resurrected Jesus appears right suddenly in their midst in a locked room, he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you." So we become those who are sent by Jesus into the world as the healing work of Jesus, announcing his kingdom by our lives, helping the world to remember his words so that others might abide in them. So my question for you, my question for all of us this morning, what words of Jesus is his Spirit inviting you to remember purposefully? If you've grown up in the church, you might remember a whole lot of those words already, and one might be coming to mind. But we're going to simply ask God this morning, as I read from a few of Jesus' words, Lord, what words might you want us to remember? What words are you inviting us to abide in? And if this is something new to you, I just want to invite you. This is kind of an experiment in prayer. You don't have to try to accomplish anything. You don't have to write any particular notes out. Unless you're a note taker, you can. But I'm going to read some words from Jesus here. And going back to the pizza in the video game metaphor, what words of Jesus might be your power-up that brings renewal or refresh? Maybe they are words that I'm about to read that are obviously encouraging and obviously offering peace, but maybe they're also words that are challenging to you. Challenging you to turn away from sin, to turn away from selfishness, knowing that these things are wounding you or wounding others. And Jesus always desires to bring healing. Maybe they're just words of introduction. If you've lived against God, or if you've lived against defining who God is, and Jesus wants you to know him specifically as Lord, who wants to offer you his life instead of building on shifting definitions of being good or being loving. So as I close this morning, I want you to listen. We did this Friday night too, but I want you to do it with a different way this morning. If you're willing to just put your hands open on your lap to receive whatever words the Holy Spirit would bring to your attention as I read these words, allow the Holy Spirit to help you remember. Allow the Spirit to tell you which words he's inviting you to abide in a new way. Hear these words from Jesus. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. And do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there are few who find it. But come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides in you, with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. Amen. We're going to close in song this morning together, celebrating as we lift high the name of Jesus. As we sing this song, it's good for us to remember, whenever we say the name of Jesus, often it's also invoking the nature of Jesus. So as we worship together in closing, as we worship celebrating the resurrection still, we're saying, lift high the nature of Jesus. Lift high the way of Jesus, the way that is healing. Not just replenishing like you've eaten a pizza, but replenishing like you're going to be forever with God, beginning now. Let's live as if eternity has begun. Let's stand together and close in worship.